everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Digital Embellishment Show. I'm your host, Kevin Abergel, and I have the honor of being here today with Briar McDonald, who's a production specialist at TUI Total Solutions, a dealer here in Central Florida, in my very own backyard. Briar, how you doing, man?
Dude, I'm doing awesome. I really appreciate you having me on the show. This is my first podcast, so I'm excited to talk shop with you on embellishments, the print industry, and really get into it.
That's cool. That's cool. And I like it because, actually, before we get into it, we talked a little bit earlier about TUI. Tell me a little bit more about TUI, and if I'm not mistaken, it's also a family company, right?
It sure is. Yeah, absolutely. So my uncle actually started it back in 1988. And he was actually just a copier repair company. So regardless of what kind of machine you had, he'd come out and repair it. Did that for, I think, close to 10 years and then became a Rico dealer. And then we were a Rico dealer for 16 years, if memory serves me correct. And then from Rico, we switched everything over to Xerox. And moving throughout the Xerox ecosystem as a dealer has been a bit of an evolution too, because right when we became a Xerox dealer, they didn't give us access to all the fun big iron. It was just the copiers initially. So we just kind of slowly converted our customer base from Rico over to Xerox. And it was 2015 when Xerox started letting dealers sell light production at the time. So you're kind of getting into smaller print shop tier, maybe bigger churches that are doing some of their marketing in-house. So I can still remember it like yesterday. We didn't know anything really about production. And my uncle went to a Xerox event up at the Gil Hatch Center, which is like this like print, this like, it's basically like a Willy Wonka's like print land for our industry. It's crazy. And he was just blown away. And he's like, we have to do production. So when they finally gave us the keys to get into the light production portfolio, we went ahead and ordered, it was a C70, so 70 pages a minute. And we just like, we're going to order every single accessory for this thing. Like, we didn't even know what any of it did. We just wanted the biggest, longest thing and put that thing right up at the window. And I actually started learning how to run a production machine and like make prints and do jobs basically off YouTube. So it was just me, my laptop, learning Fiery and Command Workstation through YouTube and figuring everything out. So yeah, that was 2015. And then about 3 years later, 2018, they gave the dealers a little bit more, right? So we're finally able to get into like the first machine of a full production, which would be at the time the Versant series. It was a 180. So now you're getting into like tighter registration, managing your color, get better color accuracy. You can auto duplex like 100-pound cover, that kind of stuff, build out more accessories on it. So again, same thing. We knew a little bit more this time, but we're like, still same thing. We want the biggest one. So we added every single accessory you can imagine. So we kind of built the business up, going off that product, this was like getting right into COVID too. And then just recently, last year, they finally let dealers get into the Iridesse product, which for a long time was like only direct can sell that, direct and agents. So we're one of the few Xerox dealers that actually can not only like sell this product, mm-hmm. but we have in-house technicians trained to service it too. So it's been a really wild ride, man. So now we're at this 4,000 some odd square foot facility with every Xerox product offering, from a light production machine all the way up to basically the biggest digital cut sheet machine they sell. So
I love it, exciting. Dude.
Yeah, man, it's fun.
It's a good story. It's a good story. And it's very similar. I have a very similar story. You know, it's my uncle started the company, my father joined, and then I joined as the second generation. And I'm sure you're bringing a lot of new things to the company as well, right? Your youth, the way that you do things, I think is probably, has that been a good impact for TUI?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's definitely been, you know, right when I started, it was kind of like, you know, trial by fire, right? Like I kind of went out there and learned on my own. But I've been fortunate to kind of stick with it, even though it can, you know, be a tough business at times because it's competitive, and grow. And yeah, like as I learn things, I'll bring it to my dad and my uncle and run it by them. And, they usually have, pretty high faith in an idea that I have. So it has been cool to introduce some of these ideas and concepts that, you know, previously the company wasn't doing, and to actually see it kind of like catch fire and us roll with it and, you know, grow and find success has been awesome.
Well, I think embellishments might be one of those things. So you are doing that fifth and sixth color stuff. What's been mm-hmm. What's been the feedback in the market since you've been trying to push those solutions?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of polarizing, right? What I've noticed is when I'm walking into shops and having conversations about what their needs are and what their current work looks like from the clients that they're serving, you know, you'll have some shops that they're kind of adverse to wanting to take any financial risk at all, which is understandable. Mm. But I feel like sometimes that's to a detriment. So, you know, we have certain shops that are very skeptical of investing money into something that they don't really know a whole lot about. And then if their clients aren't asking for it, then it's like even more fuel on that fire of I shouldn't do this. And then we'll have other shops that are very interested in it, especially when we show them like some print samples, which is what's great about this facility. We can actually produce samples, and we're not saying, hey, trust me, like this looks cool. Look at this brochure. Like, but it's been polarizing. And I would say at this point, still a little bit of the majority of people in shops are a little hesitant to it. And I think it's just because of a lack of education, you know, and they don't have clients asking for it. So they're not aware of like the potential that they can reap as a business to recognize more revenue.
I think that's totally true. And that's not just here in Florida. That's probably in the entire world when it comes to fifth and sixth collar. You know, you look at what's kind of the biggest obstacle is a lot of the designers of the brands have no idea to ask for this or why it makes sense for them. I think, you know, the why is the question that a lot of printers need to learn how to ask and to explain and to justify. And so I think you're not the only one kind of seeing that in the field. And it's too bad because it's like you're selling Ferraris and they're, instead of taking it to the track, you know, they're taking it to Publix to get their groceries. And it's too bad.
Yeah, we're actually, it's funny you mentioned the designer. We're working an opportunity for Iridesse right now. And we actually had like one of their lead designers come in for the demo on the product. When we're demoing the product, usually it's like showing them the UI of the machine, like showing them how papers are, you know, created and have profiling stocks and stuff. So it's not stuff that designers would typically, but in this case, like we need to show the designer what the machine can do. And then we have basically file preparation design guides. So it's like, basically, are we going to sell this six color press without and educating the customer on how to design for it? So once right. we showed the designer, she basically took the file design guy, like briefly looked through it, and she's like, oh, this is simple. Right. So with this information on how to design with the capabilities of this machine in mind, you know, she actually went back and recreated one of their files with embellishments, and it came out awesome. And it seems that, you know, we stand a really good shot at getting the business now because they've been able to actually see their creation come to life with the additional colors.
Oh, nothing beats a live sample or a live demo. And I think it's important that, you know, one of the, I think, obstacles you have to run through is people think that it's this big complicated secret way of designing for it. And I think if you're able to demystify it, I think that's the key thing, is that you make it less scary. People are going to realize actually it's not that complicated.
Yeah, I definitely do think there's a little intimidation within the market because like it isn't quite as simple at this point as just like your client sends you a file. And if when I run it through my fiery, a beautiful print comes out, there has to be intent with the design. So I do see that as like a small bottleneck, but it definitely isn't like something that should completely deter somebody from doing it at all. It's just something to take into consideration. And I think that's when the value of training and educating the staff on the possibilities of these colors really comes into play, to where it's not, you're just like dropping a box and go. It's like you're partners in business with them to help them realize a return on this investment.
Right. And I think it's funny. You look at like the pink, for example, on the Iridesse, how many people, you know, probably think, hey, this is only to do pink color. You're like, so my friend, like you could use pink to expand your gamut significantly and even automatically now. It has nothing to do with pink. So people, people still approach it from that way, thinking, well, I don't do many pink jobs. Like,
yeah, correct. Correct. Yeah. And I'm not a big pink guy, but I have to be honest. Like when I saw some of the fluorescent pink samples, I was like, that's actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like I'm sure people can come up with some really cool ideas that can leverage and maximize the effect that has on the eyes. But to your point, yeah. That gamma extension is huge. And what's really exciting about that is, pink's just the first one right now. There's going to be other colors that that extend the gamma in other directions make it a more versatile machine. So pink's just the tip of the iceberg, but it was really cool. I can remember when our fiery rep came in, he's like, he had this sheet and he's like, here's the colors you used to not be able to hit. And here you can hit them now. And it's like, wow, this is like really, really, and it doesn't make like your new colors fluorescent. It's just, like you said, it expands the gamut and makes it a more capable print engine. And like you said, it's not something that you have to like design for. Right.
Right.
So, that's a great example, man.
Yeah. The pink's great. And I'm sure, with the Home Depot orange and the Florida Gators stuff, you could probably do some pretty nice looking pieces.
Hey, some of those drafts of the tickets, right? With the, with the image, I was like, maybe pink, maybe pink on some of these. Like we might have to. So it's funny, like pink is actually the one housing in color we didn't buy for this. We're going to go ahead and buy it. Right. When we were buying the first Iridesses, we were like figuring out like, we didn't have the same mindset that we did now, right?
With right.
like really, really, really pushing it. We're just like, what are the most popular embellishment colors? We're like, silver and gold sound cool. We'll do that.
Yeah.
But now we're like, yeah, we kind of want them all.
For sure. Like,
There's a space for all of them.
We just did a study. White is by far the number one used ink with people who are using fifth and sixth colors. Because it allows you to do a lot of different things like printing on obviously colored papers, but transparencies, if you want to do transparent stuff, you want to do two-sided transparencies. So being able to put that white on the first layer, then CMYK on top of it, was the number one selling color based on our study last year.
I could see how white could be the unsung hero of embellishment. There's a really cool example book. I don't know if I've shown, it wouldn't surprise me if you guys designed some of the stuff, but there's an embellishment book that Xerox gives like the dealers.
Yeah.
And it kind of just showcases everything when you're flipping through it, and it'll tell you how the press was configured to produce, this product.
The recipe. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And one of the coolest pieces in there, and they do a really neat job with it. You open up the page and it's a page split in half. And it's the same image, and it shows here's what this image looks like with a single hit, but here's what a double hit looks like. That's if you put white in both, and it's very vivid. It pops off the page and it's like, wow, it's impactful. It so
and a lot that of white people, is cool. And a lot of people, I don't know if you're kind of following what Mark Jeeves does with Color Logic, but being able to print onto metallic substrates. And being able to mask out where you don't want metal looks. So if you print like a CMYK on a metallic substrate, all the CMYK is going to look metalized. But if you shoot a white first mask out where you don't want it to look metallic, you can do some spectacular stuff on foil board, for example, on that Iridesse.
I'm really interested in that. And, our in-house analyst, he actually showed me some stuff on Color Logic, and it was incredible. It was like a crazy gamut of different colors that they've realized with, the combination that the Iridesse produces. But that's a really neat concept to where you don't want the whole thing's metallic by default, and you print where you don't want metallic. So
exactly.
We got to get some samples of that here.
I'm sure if Mark's listening, he'll send you some samples. He's Mr. Samples. He's got a ton. So speaking of showing the stuff off, I think, Brian, you have an event coming up in December. Mm-hmm. I believe December 3rd at your Altamont Springs facility. Do you want to tell us just a little bit more about that? And
yeah, we'll give you guys a little sneak peek of it. The event hasn't been fully released yet, but it'll be released within the coming days. But essentially, we're aiming for December 3rd, and we're going to basically be hosting, for lack of a better term, an embellishment workshop where we have experts come in, you guys, and talk about how companies can actually leverage this to drive revenue. Because right now, like I said, a good part of the shops I'm walking into, they almost, I can see that they see it as a risky sales gimmick, and we want to get the mindset away from that. We want to show them the possibilities that they could realize that they're quite frankly missing out on if they don't have their sales staff knowledgeable on the product, marketing it correctly, and then selling it correctly in front of their customers. So it's basically like, I almost want to say it's like an industry, it's a service to the industry.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what it is. It's not even meant to talk about, you know, our products specifically, because the stuff that we're talking about with embellishment isn't just, you know, specific to Xerox, right? There's other machines that do this stuff. So we're really excited to offer that to the local, you know, print community here within Florida.
It's the demystifying event, right? You're making it.
Yeah. It's the public service of demystifying the scary investment of, you know, embellishment printing. Yeah.
That's awesome, sure. Dude. I love it. So I love the URL that you set up for this event. So if people want to know more about this event or in the Florida area, want to come by and see and sit in on some of the demystifying sessions we're going to be holding with you, where can they go?
It's going to be standoutormissout.com.
I love that.
We're going to, you know, do a pretty big email campaign to shoot this out there. We're also going to be hand walking physical invitations to a lot of shops here in Central Florida. I'm sure we're going to be doing some LinkedIn advertising of this event as well. So there's going to be a few different ways people are going to be receiving events to this. But yeah, if you want to see it, standoutormissout.com. That website and for this event will be up within a week.
Very cool. Very cool. So standoutormissout.com. If you guys are in Florida, we'd love to see you. Come on down and let's learn about embellishments together. Listen, Briar, thank you for a phenomenal conversations.
Absolutely.
If somebody wants to know more about TUI Total Solutions, and by the way, what does TUI stand for?
Okay, so it actually stands for Technicians Unlimited Incorporated. That was the original thing, and then it kind of moved to Trust, Unity, Integrity. And then Total Solutions came because we do more services than just printing. You know, we do IT services, we do physical security and cameras and access control and stuff like that. So we just thought Total Solutions. But yeah, the original acronym was Technicians Unlimited Incorporated. And it kind of holds true to who we are now. I mean, we have 8 technicians and like 3 salespeople. So we're a service organization.
That's funny. And I think anybody from MGI who's watching this will remember, like, we had MGI had one original meeting, and then, you know, later on we're like, yeah, we need to find a new acronym for this. We need to find some better words. So we just said multi-graphic innovation and call it a day.
Yeah, a lot of my customers are like, oh, TUI, and like there's a part of me that wants to be like, oh, it's TUI, but you know, I'm like, yeah, I'm not even gonna. TUI's fine.
Lean into it, man.
Yeah,
from a marketing
side.
The TUIs.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, it just reminds me of that N64 video game, like Banjo Kazooie, like Banjo TUI. Yeah, I don't know.
That's awesome. Good game. All right, listen, Briar, thank you very much for your time. I'm looking forward to seeing you on our event in December, early December.
Absolutely.
On the 3rd. And keep up the great work.
Thank
preaching
you.
Embellishments, and good luck to you and the whole TUI team. We look forward to working with you guys out there.
Likewise, man. I really appreciate you having me on the show, and I'm looking forward to the event. Can't wait.
Very cool. Thanks again.